Hare Krishna, everybody. Good morning. Today we're reading from Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, text number 44. Chapter's entitled Lord Shiva Saves the Universe. Translation: it is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. Please repeat.
It is said
that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general.
This is considered
the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is present in everyone's heart. Here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are very quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 1868-69, Yaidam paramam guhyam mad bhakteshu bhagadasati nachatasman manushyeshu kashchan me priyakritamah. One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. There are different kinds of welfare activities in this material world, but the supreme welfare activity is the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. It is by destiny or the laws of karma that one must suffer or enjoy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is under obligations to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastra says, Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido. Nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyadaha. Bhagavatam 1.5.18. One should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of the reactions of karma. What is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord, who is within everyone, supplies him whatever he wants. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham nitya vyoktanam yoga kshemam bahamiham. Again, as stated here, tapyante lokata pena sadhava prayasho janaha. The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness. The Lord Himself also comes to mitigate the suffering of humanity. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanin bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samsthapanataya sampavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. Bhagavad Gita 4:7-8. All the Shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world. Because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general, the Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. I'll read the verse once more. Tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayasho janaha paramaradhanam taddi purushasya kilatmanaha. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Miritam Devina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri
Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Anchika Patriyasya Kripa Sindhu Devacha Adhitana Bhagani Yoga Vaishnavi Yoga Namaha. So this is a very famous verse. Who here is aware of that, this verse? Good to be noted by heart. Anybody? One and a half. Okay. Yeah, very famous verse, very important verse. And the context is the churning of the milk ocean and how Lord Shiva, he saved the universe, as is the title of this chapter, by consuming the poison that was emanating from the milk ocean. And it's referring to Lord Shiva here, how the great personalities, they voluntarily take on suffering for the benefit of others. And we see that here the purport Srila Prabhupada is talking primarily about preaching Krishna consciousness, spreading Krishna consciousness, how this is so vital for humanity at large and how it's very beneficial for the person who is doing that also. So the Srila Prabhupada Marathon is upcoming, that's why we're having these classes that are revolving around book distribution from special verses. Is today the first one? Is Monday or Saturday the first one?
Friday.
Okay. So we're continuing speaking about book distribution. And you could say that Srila Prabhupada is here preaching in the first one, as he eternally is. But you could say that this verse is about Srila Prabhupada, you could say that it definitely refers very, or that it's, you know, very relevant to Srila Prabhupada's position. When devotees talk about Srila Prabhupada and his sacrifice and what he gave to give us Krishna consciousness, it usually comes to my mind that pastime that we hear. I think Bhavananda Maharaj, Bhavananda Prabhu, tells it, and but I think Timur Krishna Maharaj also tells it, how once in Mayapur they were with Srila Prabhupada in his quarters. I think it was very early in the morning, it's very tranquil, quiet, peaceful. And Srila Prabhupada said, I didn't want to come here. And the devotees thought, what do you mean? You didn't want to come to Mayapur, Prabhupada, you love Mayapur. They didn't say that, but they just thought, what's Srila Prabhupada talking about? Srila Prabhupada said, I didn't want to come here. But Krishna told me that you should go to the material world. And I said, no, I don't want to go to that nasty place. It's a horrible place. And Krishna said, no, please go. I want you to go. Mama said, no, I'm not going there. It's horrible. Who would want to go there? And Krishna said, don't worry. There'll be nice prasada. There'll be lots of devotees. You just write your books, and then you can come back. So it was only once that Prabhupada mentioned that he was with Krishna in the spiritual world, and Krishna asked him to descend to the material world, and Krishna himself personally gave that instruction to Prabhupada. You just write your books, and then you can come back. That's your main mission. That, for me, is the most clear example of what Prabhupada gave up to give us Krishna consciousness. That to be in the spiritual world, to be with Krishna, to be in a perfect situation, and to come to this world and to take on so many difficulties just to give us Krishna consciousness, and what greater sacrifice could there be? I can't think of anything that would be greater than that. Talks in the Bhagavatam about who is it, Dadichi Muni, who was willing to give up his body. But, I mean, these bodies only last for a certain amount of time. But to go from one's position in the spiritual world to the material world, to serve is amazing. And it's not that Prabhupada didn't go through difficulties within this material world. Srila Prabhupada had so many health struggles. He was in a car crash with Ramananda. He was fighting for the temple in Bombay. It's just, as Prabhupada would say about accounting, he said, it just gives me a headache. It's the whole thing, just dealing with it. So Srila Prabhupada undeniably went through struggles and suffering. He was sick, he was ill. He was old, he had heart attacks, we know the story. But he did that voluntarily, just for us. And if Prabhupada hadn't done that, then where would we be right now? It doesn't really bear thinking about, if I think about where I would be if I hadn't come in contact with Krishna consciousness. It's not a happy sight. And the same thing can happen if we go out and we give Krishna consciousness to others. If we follow on in the same line as Srila Prabhupada, doing the same thing as Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada, he was a book distributor. That's what gave him real confidence to come to the West, is when he'd already published the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he brought, how many copies was it? About 500, I think, three trunks of Srimad Bhagavatam to him. So Prabhupada, okay, Bhagavatam, but Bhagavatam, I can go, I'm ready to go. So Srila Prabhupada was a book distributor, he was our original book distributor in ISKCON. And if we carry on doing the same thing, then just as our lives have been transformed, just as our lives have been changed, then we can change the lives of others as well. I'll get to those stories in a minute. So this verse says that Paramaradhanam Taddi Purushasya Kilatmanaha. That not only is this what devotees generally do, it says generally great personalities, they take on suffering for the suffering of people in general. But not only do they generally do that, and that's the tendency of Vaishnavas, but that's the best way of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parama Aradhanam, the topmost method of worshipping. So Aradhanam means to worship Krishna. Parama means the topmost. So that method of sacrificing oneself to give Krishna consciousness to others is the best way to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Prabhupada. It says that in the Prabhupada, also the best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness. And there's other verses also that talk about worshipping Krishna. They also mention this same word. This is from, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I think it's from the Padma Purana. Yeah. There's also another famous verse. Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchana. This is Lord Shiva saying, my dear Devi, although the Vedas recommend worship of demigods, the worship of Lord Vishnu is the topmost. However, above the worship of Lord Vishnu is the rendering of service to Vaishnavas who are related to Lord Vishnu. Who knows that verse? Yeah, these are very important, famous verses. And there's another verse that also mentions this word, Aradhanam. This is from the 10th canto. Anai Aradhito Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishvaraha Yano Vihaya Govinda Pito Yam Anayadraha. Who knows that verse? Anybody recognize it? What can they think what it's about? You know? No? Not sure. This is the only time that Srimati Radharani's name is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, slightly indirectly. Anayaradhito nunam. Certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. So, Krishna consciousness is all about worshipping Krishna, Aradhanam. Srimati Radharani is the best servitor. We hear in the other verse there that the best way to serve Krishna is to serve his devotees. And we're hearing here that the highest worship that we can do is service to devotees, is service to Srila Prabhupada, is service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He told us to take on this mission and preach is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, when one goes under distribution, when one takes on this austerity in the cold, it was 3 degrees this morning, it's not going to be very warm in Christmas time. When I was a Brahmacharya, I kind of wish they'd chosen to do the book distribution marathon in the summer. In Australia, the book distribution marathon is also in Christmas time, but it's summer for them at that time, so it works a bit better.
Too hot.
Too hot, yeah. But it could always be worse. When I was living in Hungary, we would go on a marathon every year, and we would go to Sweden, Norway, Denmark. So the winter here is nothing in comparison to that. When we were distributing books in one place in Sweden, it was by the coast, and it was so cold. Every day we would go out, I'm not sure exactly how cold it was, around 10, minus 10, I think, something like that. It was so cold, I could stand on the street for like 5 minutes, and then I would go into a shop for 5 minutes to warm up so I could speak again, and then come back out onto the street. It was just so cold, your mouth would not work, it would just kind of freeze, and then you'd like thaw it out. And I would buy these, you probably don't know them, but they have them in cold countries, these like heated things that you put in your shoes. They like press it, you know, and put it in your shoe, and it heats your foot up a little bit. And then the sanitation leader said, I'm not allowed to buy them, it's costing too much money. So I had to stop buying them. So there, it was extremely cold, and then at the same time you have all these guys walking down the streets in like t-shirt, Norwegian, Swedish people, they're just like totally used to it with their blonde hair and their blue eyes and walking around in t-shirts. So it could be worse, it could be colder. Also when we were there, it would rain a lot. We were distributing books in one place in Sweden called Tromsø, probably none of you know it. But it's very far north, it's right on the top of Sweden. So in the summertime, the sun doesn't go down, it's just kind of up 24 hours a day. And in the winter, when you've got book distribution, then it doesn't come up at all, it's just dark 24 hours a day. So when we were out on book distribution, it was totally dark. And around 12, between about 12 and 1, there'd be like a slightly not so dark patch for like an hour, and then it would disappear again, it'd be totally dark. And of course it would be raining like the whole day. So it was very difficult. One time I was out distributing books with Shambhi Hariprabhu, my spiritual master's servant, and Padakamalaprabhu. It was raining all day. And so we like trudged back to the accommodation after book distribution. Our clothes were totally soaking wet. And in this like accommodation, this travel accommodation, they had a little radiator that's about this big. So we put our clothes, somebody put their clothes on the radiator, other folks put their clothes on the chair and stuff around the radiator. And we get up the next morning, of course everything is still totally soaking wet, all of our clothes. So we put them back on again and walk to the Sangatan spot and just stand in the rain again all day. So yeah, these are the austerities, the sacrifices that we go through to distribute Krishna consciousness. And if we don't go through these austerities, then how will people get Krishna consciousness? Like, if that devotee hadn't been on book distribution when I was in London 20 years ago, then where would I be? It was Madhusudan Prabhu, who was at that time the personal servant of my spiritual master. And I never stopped for anybody in my life on the street, never, not one person. You know, people doing questionnaires or charities, I never ever stopped for anybody. But I was working at that time, I was going to different castings, and I was going up and down Oxford Street, going to different places in central London. Somehow or other he stopped me, had a special kind of aura. It seemed very, I don't know, very attractive and charismatic, and I don't know what it was, something spiritual. And so I stopped, and he tried to give me some books, and I said, no, I'm not interested, I don't want any of these books, I don't want anything. And he was showing me different things that he had, and then he had some Chinese books, they were in Chinese, and he was showing me them as well. I said, oh, they look quite interesting, because I used to do collage at that time. I was quite artistic and like doing design and collage and stuff. I thought, oh, maybe I'll like cut them up and put them in a collage. I like the Chinese script. So I said, okay, I'll take some of those ones. And he asked me for a donation, and I was very tight. I'm still very tight. You can ask my wife. And I think I gave him, I don't know what I gave him, like 2p or 20p or something like that. So I took those books, and he also managed to give me a Beyond Birth and Death. So I took them, and I read the Beyond Birth and Death, because I'd been to India the previous year for 9 months. And as I read Beyond Birth and Death, this is just to illustrate how fallen I am and was, and how even the most unlikely prospects can get something from the books. So I read Beyond Birth and Death, and as I was reading it, you know, it talked about reincarnation and meditation and yoga. I thought, I know all of this stuff already. You know, I've been to India, I was with monks over there, so I already know all of these things. It's nothing new for me. But I knew where the temple was in Central London because I was going to all these appointments. And I thought maybe I'll just go and have a look, see what it's like, which I'm sure was an effect of touching the books, seeing the books, reading some of the books that Abhyata Sukriti built up and, you know, allowed me to approach the temple. So then my dad had said to me that you should be very careful of places in Soho, because they may let you in for free, but they charge a lot of money for you to come out again. A lot of dodgy places in Soho. And the temple, you go there and then you just see the stairs going up, and it's like, what are they going to do to me when I go up those stairs? And then what kind of room are they going to lock me in, or what instruments are they going to use to torture me when I go up there? So I went to the reception, this first time I ever came to the temple, and I said, what do they do up there? What do they do up those stairs up the top? And the receptionist said to me, I'm not speaking English. I thought, this is really dodgy, this place. So I just left, and I didn't go inside. And he didn't speak English, that receptionist. It was Danny, I think he was from Peru. He was a receptionist at that time. So I just left. And thankfully, somehow or another, I came back again quite soon. And that time, the receptionist did speak English, and I went up to the temple, and then, you know, I met the devotees and learned about Krishna consciousness. But yeah, being on both sides of the coin, receiving a book or distributing books, there were other funny stories that happened in Sweden. The reason we went to those places is you can distribute a lot of books there, and they're very rich countries. Swedish people are very, very submissive. So you'd meet someone on the street and say, you know, would you like to take a book? And they would say, okay. And then you're just like, okay, let's go to the cash point. And you just like start walking towards the cash point machine. And they just like follow after you, tell them how much you want them to give. And it goes very well over there. We do much more of it than we would in Hungary or why we're doing in England as well. So one time, well, another factor of us distributing books, especially in Norway, was that we were just staying in hotels. So there were small cities, small towns that we would go to. And it was only good for a few days. So we would fly to Norway, we'd stay in a hotel, usually, or somewhere like that, in that town. And then we would fly to the next town, stay there for a few days, fly to the next one. And we couldn't take books with us, so it would all be organized that they would send books to that place and it would be stored in a particular place. We would pick them up. But we couldn't cook, though, either, because we had nowhere to cook. So we were eating crisps, or we were eating, you know, lettuce, or things like that. Baked beans, that was like the most nourishing thing that we usually ate there. So one time in Norway, it was right near the end of the marathon, so it's very intense. We're trying to do as many books as possible. The Sangatan leader, the national Sangatan leader from Hungary, was phoning me up, like asking me, you know, how much we're planning to do, and, you know, like 11 o'clock in the morning, how much have you done so far? And I would be telling him, so a lot of pressure. And I was in one shopping centre. I think I was just doing books in that shopping centre, which also had its own risks. And I was hungry, so I went to one of the supermarkets and I bought some baked beans. And I sat on the bench and I was sitting there eating my baked beans, cold baked beans, with a spoon. And some young girls came up to me, teenagers, And they said, we've bought this for you. It was a McDonald's package in a brown bag from McDonald's. And I said, that's very kind of you. I said, but I'm vegetarian, I can't eat that. And they said, I said, we're so sorry. I said, we can go back and get you something else if you like. And I said, you could. I said, why did you bring that for me? They said, you're homeless, aren't you? Sitting on the bench, you know, in the supermarket, eating cold baked beans. They said, no. I said, I'm not homeless. I said, I'm a monk. And we're engaged in missionary activities. I said, you don't have to buy me anything, you know, I don't need anything, but you can give a donation if you want. You can give us a donation because we're raising donations. So they gave a good donation. I think they gave about £20 or £30 each. And I gave them some books. And then they went away with those books. So lots of funny things were happening on our adventures over there. There was one place we were distributing books. Which is the capital of Norway, is it? Oslo or is it Bergen? Is it Oslo? So we were distributing books. I think it's the second biggest city in Norway called Bergen. And that was really austere, how Bergen is right on the coast and there's mountains just the other side of the other side of it. So when you're standing on the street, you can see the mountains, you can kind of see the sea as well. And it's Norway, so it's cold and it's rainy, but because there's mountains right there and the ocean is there, that all the moisture and the clouds come in, and when they hit the mountains, it just rains. So it just rains like constantly. We were distributing books there, and there were so many storms that people were just, they were just running away from the rain the whole day. And the bins were full of umbrellas, full of broken umbrellas, because people were going holding their umbrellas. The rain was so strong and the wind that it was breaking, and the umbrella goes upwards and just chuck it away. So the bins were like full of umbrellas everywhere, umbrellas around the bins. We were like standing there trying to distribute books. Very, 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 very difficult. But our spiritual master was also in contact with us, Shiva Ramaswamy, and he was trying to encourage us and also pushing us, giving us quotas, how much we should be doing every day. And one day he said that he wants all of us to do 200,000 forints that day. So that's like, it's about £500 worth of books here. So we got up. We didn't get up that early, but we got out there quite early. We started it. We decided we'd do 10 hours that day. So we started at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we stayed until 10 o'clock in the evening. And 12 hours, in 12 hours. And it was miraculous. So other days, we've been out there, it's just like being in a boxing ring with Mike Tyson or something, just getting destroyed by these people running away from the rain and the storm. On that day, it was like, this is how much I want you to do. We went out there and it was just like, I don't know, floating all day. And at that time, it was dark, it was cold, it was winter. About 5 o'clock then, everybody just disappeared from the street. There was nobody around anymore. That day, there was still hardly any people after 5 o'clock, but anybody who came, they just came and they gave you like 30 quid or 50 quid or something like that. And two of us, the three, we both did 200,000, almost exactly 200,000 forints worth of books on that day. So the austerities are there. There are challenges, but ultimately it's all nectar. It may sound, and maybe I've been painting a bad picture here, I actually love book distribution. It's my favorite service. When I'm out there on book distribution, I don't want to come back, you know, I don't want to come home. That taste that you get from it and that thrill and that ecstasy is such a taste, such a high taste, that when you're doing anything else, it just doesn't compare. But hearing the chanting is like, you know, nice, it's good, but being out there, getting that mercy is so powerful. I think it's Narad Muni who explains that we chant japa. You know, that's Shravanam Kirtanam, that's the Yuga Dharma, very powerful. But if you go on, if you do Sankirtan, if you do Kirtan with others, then it's 100 times as powerful as you chanting a japa. and then going out, taking that sankirtan out, going onto the street, doing harinam or book distribution, specifically harinam, that's 100 more times powerful than doing kirtan with the devotees. And you can say book distribution is even more powerful. We're going out doing harinam, but when you're going and giving books, then it's like a constant harinam that people can take home in their pocket and put in their house. We can't go in people's houses and chant the Hare Krishna Mama mantra all day, but if they have a book, it's like their house is a temple, Krishna is there. If they dust their shelf, if they take that book off the shelf, Krishna is there with them. So nothing can be more powerful than book distribution, that is the Brihat Vedanga. So the austerity is inevitable, but the ecstasy and the mercy is also inevitable, and the things that happen when we go out on book distribution, the miracles, the stories that happen, they're just, every single time you go out, there's so many amazing stories that happen. Like I managed to crawl out of the mode of ignorance the other day and join the devotees in Harinam last Saturday in St. Albans, and I was trying to distribute some books. And so many things happened just in that short amount of time. Adishan was there with me, and Raghunath was with me as well. But like I met one lady, I think it was a black-bodied lady, she was saying how I had a Bhagavad Gita, I was trying to give it to her. She said, "Oh, I already asked somebody to give me the Bhagavad Gita for Christmas, so I won't get one now. I'm going to read it at Christmas time." And other people wanting to buy books or telling me that they plan to buy books. One day I was distributing books in Covent Garden, when I was a brahmachari, and I showed my lady the book, and she said, "This is amazing." She said, "I had a dream last night that I was going to meet someone and they were going to give me a spiritual book. So yeah, I'll take it and I'll give a donation." So these kind of miracles happen from book distribution. I remember another time I would do shops in London as well, and I'd go around those places every year, at least once a year. You run out of places. You don't want to go so far, so you just go back to the same place where you meet lots of people and they give you donations and take books. So I went to this place, I would go to this place and give this guy a book, and it was quite nice, and every year he would get a little bit nicer, take books, be a bit more open. And then I went the next year and knocked on the door and asked for him, and they said he's left his body, he's not here anymore. So we can't underestimate what value this has for people. Who knows what other things they're doing in their lives, but if they're taking Srila Prabhupada's books, reading them, then that has an eternal result for them. There's one funny story about one devotee that I know from New Zealand. He's actually, I think he's from Czech Republic, but he was living in New Zealand at that time. So he was living in New Zealand and working there, and he was doing pretty good. So he was quite happy. I think he was married already, and he had a good job. He was earning good money, and he would go to work every day and walking down the high street to go to work, and he would see the devotees distributing books. And the devotees were, you know, mercifully meeting people, giving them books with compassion. He could see this compassionate look on the devotees' faces, and it annoyed him that, you know, there's these people and they're kind of like not looking down on us, but, you know, like, you know, we're here to help you and, you know, to guide you and to give you mercy. And it annoyed him because he thought, you know, I'm alright, you know, what's the big deal? So he went up to a devotee and said, "I can see you guys distributing books, but we're okay. We need your help, you know, everything's alright. So just go home, relax, you don't need to save the world. Just go home and everything's okay. You know, don't be in a strange mentality that you're better than everybody else and you need to save us." And the devotee spoke to him and gave him a book, and then he also became a devotee. So he went and approached the devotee and spoke to him, and just by coming in contact with the devotees and trying to convince them not to distribute books, then he also became a devotee. And there's so many wonderful stories. Another one is how devotees were distributing books in South America, and they have this type of sankirtan there, how there would be these big buses. I assume they're just like travelling within the towns. They would go into the bus and in the front of the bus, stand up, make an announcement, show the book, and then go around and ask people, you know, they just like go around and would give them money and take a book. So this devotee was doing that all day, was just reading books. And in the evening, he stood up, made the announcement, and was going around asking if anybody would like a book. And one of the ladies said, I would like a book, but I'd like to ask, who is that golden person standing behind you when you were making the announcement on the bus? And he said, he realized, you know, well, who could that be? Who else would be there backing him up on book distribution other than Lord Chaitanya? So he said, well, I didn't really bring anybody out with me today, but we believe in the Lord. So that was an interesting story. Who was that golden person standing behind you when you were distributing books? And another nice story is how there was one Italian devotee. He was a book distributor for his whole life, I believe. A very steady, strong book distributor. And then he got sick and he was dying. He was on his deathbed. And devotees were with him. And when it came time for him to leave his body, then he sat bolt upwards in bed. And he said, oh, Panchatattva, magnifico darshan. And then he left his body. So this devotee was probably getting wet and cold and abused. And actually, it wasn't just that those people thought I was homeless when I was on book distribution. I wasn't dressed that badly or anything, you know, I did dress normally and nicely on book distribution. One time I was distributing books in Camden, and one homeless guy didn't take it very well that I was distributing books, and he spat in my face on book distribution. Another time I was distributing books in central London on a Saturday night. That was like the best time to distribute books. Go out all day on book distribution in Camden, and then hit the pubs in the evening, go to all the different pubs. So people would always give a donation, and not very much, like £1, give them a small book, and they would just go to all the different pubs around London. That was ecstatic. Yeah, different stories about those pubs as well, but that was really good. And I went to this, I was in the mood going around the West End on Saturday night distributing books, and I went into this pub and I was distributing books, and one of the security guards came and kicked me out, as would often happen. And then I kind of got back in again, and I was distributing books, going to the tables, speaking to people, giving them books, and then kicked me out again. And then I went back in again, somehow or another, and I was distributing books in there. And then that time he actually got me, and he like literally kicked me out of the pub. So, yeah, it made me think of Lord Nityananda's mercy. Kicking Shivan and saying. But it was all good fun, but it's inevitable. If we're going to serve Krishna, there's going to be austerities, there's going to be difficulties, but to the degree that we take on those austerities, to the degree that we take on those difficulties as a service, tapyante lokatapena. Tapyante, they voluntarily suffer lokatapena because of the suffering of people in general. So the degree that we're ready to sacrifice for the benefit of others, just as others have sacrificed for our benefit, whether it be Srila Prabhupada, or the devotees who have given books to us, or just the devotees who generally maintain ISKCON. In the beginning, the manor wasn't a rich temple. We were hearing the other day from Sakshi Gopal, where we were held. There was no electricity here. There was no hot water. They barely had the money to maintain Bhaktivedanta Manor. So if those devotees hadn't gone through that austerity to maintain this place, then where would we be? So to the degree that we do take on that austerity, we experience the ecstasy and the happiness of book distribution. Like I said, for me, book distribution is my happiest place, best place to be, safest place to be, most ecstatic place to be, place where the most miracles happen. Once Srila Prabhupada, and then I'll finish if anybody has any questions or comments. Prabhupada was preaching and thinking where to go to preach. And then the devotee said, oh, you could go here, or you could go to Hawaii, Prabhupada, or you could go to England, or you could go to India. It's mango season right now in India. And Prabhupada said no. And he said, let's go somewhere in the West. He said, the taste of preaching is sweeter than any mango. So if we are willing to take on this service, then we will also taste the sweetness of Krishna's reciprocation for following in the footsteps of these great devotees. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Does anybody have any comments or questions or corrections?
Thank you so much for the wonderful class. Thank you for it. It was like a storybook. You just take us through so many stories and so many sadhis and pastimes. I have one question. I mean, when you are in that moment, when it's raining, when it's cold, you're not thinking about, wow, this is amazing. That is reality. You think about how it is amazing in retrospective in many times. So my question is, how can we always be conscious that the mercy is there, even if that austerity in that moment is very much present? I'm sure when Lord Shiva was drinking the poison, he was not like, this is amazing, this is so ecstatic. I guess there was that austerity there, so how can we always remind ourselves, when we're doing that austerity, that this is for a higher purpose, I'm actually pleasing Guru, pleasing Srila Prabhupada, it's good and beneficial for these souls. I know I can't see him, but Lord Chaitanya is behind me. How can we constantly meditate on this?
Yeah, I think it's not possible always to remember that, at least in our conditioned state, and that is what the austerity is, that you're there, you're just like, you know, it's raining, it's cold, people are saying no, people are doing whatever they're going to do to you, and it's like you just kind of grit your teeth and you struggle on. And at some point the nectar comes, some point the reciprocation comes, some point, you know, the tasty prasadam comes when you get home from the day of Sankirtan, or you're in front of the deities and they just give you some mercy. So it says here, tapyante, voluntarily suffering. So it's like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do it, even if, you know, my faith isn't strong, even if my mind is saying, why are you doing this? You know, you had a good job before you joined the temple. You know, why aren't you cleaning the temple as nice and warm in there? Even if the mind's screaming at you, then you push on. You carry on. And otherwise it's not austerity. If you're out there in the rain and you're in ecstasy, it's not much of an austerity. And there's different stories about devotees who are, you know, they're just in ecstasy when they're distributing books. And that's not an austerity, really. You're enjoying it. So austerity means that you are not realizing that it's ecstasy, you're not realizing that this is the best thing, or you're not experiencing that, but you're carrying on and you're doing it anyway. And that is the feature of all devotees, like we mentioned Srimati Radharani there. So she would do anything to serve Krishna, even in the spiritual world, she's performing austerities. Their story is how she, in her room, she covers the windows. And she pours water on the floor, puts mud on the floor, because she's practicing at night when she has to go through the forest when she's escaping from her home, going out to meet Krishna, going through the forest in the dark, trying not to fall over, trying to get to Krishna as fast as possible. So that just that mentality of giving and serving and worshipping Adadhanam, then that's always there in devotees, but in our unripe state as practicing devotees, then we don't always realize that. So it's an investment. It's an investment. How does that verse go? I don't remember right now. But how is it? It's Rishabdev, that this life is meant for austerity.
Supported Yamputra Kayana Sapam Sukhetyasma, Rama Satyam. What was the first hat? Is it Nayam Deha Deha Bhajam Niloki Krishan Kaman Arhati Bhujam Ye?
Yeah, so this life is not meant for enjoying like the animals enjoy. This life is meant for austerity. And through performing that austerity, then you reach the highest perfection. So it's like you can't carry the lollipop with us all the time, you know, and then I don't feel good, we just lick it. It's like you don't have it right now. You know, we're showing Krishna that I'm ready to sacrifice for this cause, I believe in it. And then later, you know, you get lots of lollipops in the spiritual world, so I don't always have that taste. But obviously we should be strong, you know, have a good sadhana, we should read so that we remember what are we doing it for, so the mind doesn't flip out too much, we can remember, oh yeah, this is actually really what I'm doing. Sambandha Gyan, understand. Is that okay? So austerity is austerity, it can't be nothing. If it's nice, it's not austerity. Yes, go ahead, man.
Just nice class, thank you. And just to parallel something you said, you had this experience at Soho. I had the same one. And I went to Soho. I just, you know, in the area, and I checked it out. And I was interested in Hare Krishna. And I started walking up the stairs, and I got scared, and I just came down and left. And it wasn't a year later before I entered the Hare Krishna. Strange, it's a scary place. And it's like you're facing your actual self or something. Something like you're actually confronting your being. Because you have this feeling that this is it. This is the reality. And you just don't want to do it, you know. But here's another question.
Can I just say one thing? It's related to that.
Yeah.
My dad would come and visit me in Soho. When I was a brahmachari there for like 8 years, he would come and see me. He never once went up the stairs, man. We come to the restaurant, sit in the restaurant, take a salad and talk, you know, this and that. We would not go upstairs. And you could just feel that there's something there that was going to, you know, get on my case. You know, I don't want to face that right now. It's just, you can feel it in your subconscious, don't you? So yeah, go ahead.
Another point, there's quite a few, if you look at our Prabhupada memories, there's quite a lot of accounts where devotees said Prabhupada was golden. So I'm thinking, maybe it was Prabhupada who was the distributor. It's another option.
He could have asked him, exactly.
Was it an oldish looking man? Was it 7 foot tall?
Was it the lady?
She
went
to Radharani,
she saw someone. I think he said it as a man.
Maybe it was Krishna. He followed him so many men.
In Gaur Krishna? Definitely somebody nice. Anything else? Okay, otherwise, okay, yes, then we'll finish because I need to take my leave to school.
I was going to ask, have you got any opportunities distributing books with your spiritual master? Like how about you got started with him when he was in the streets and distributing books or anything like that in the spiritual
world? Once, yeah, in Budapest. And you know, you're used to on book distribution, used to being like kicked out of places, like shopping centres or wherever. I mean, when I was at St. Catharine in South Street, they banned us from distributing. No, St. Anthony in Soho, they banned us from distributing books on Oxford Street for like a year or something like that. So we used to, you, as a book distributor, you get used to being kicked out of places. So the one time I went on book distribution with my spiritual master, he kicked me out of that area because he wanted to distribute books on that street. And there wasn't enough people around. So he went on book distribution that day in Budapest and I was kind of like, tagging them along and like watching him distribute books when I was just doing books so I wouldn't get in trouble and I'm not doing anything. Yeah. And then he came up to me and was like, what are you doing over here? And he go over there, there's not enough people over here. So that was my experience with distributing books with my spiritual master. But yeah, they also experienced the ecstasy of book distribution, and he goes out every year on the marathon for a few days. His health is not good, but he doesn't want to miss out on the nectar. Yeah, they also also relish it. Okay, I should finish there. Thank you very much for your attention. Grantu Ashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada's Janata Book Distribution Ki Jai. Jai Nitya Gaur Premanand.